The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam. First Canto, Chapter Number 12, Text Number 7. Given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasat Hikari. Recorded on December 11th, 2014, in Phoenix, Mauritius.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Matu Garbha Gata Vira Sa Tada Bhrigunandana Dadarsha Purusham Kanchit Jayamana Astra Chejasa Matur Garbha Gato Vira Sattala Bhrigunandana Dadarsha Purusham Kanchid Dahyamanosta Tejasa Matur Garbha Gato Vira Sattada Bhrigunandana Dadarsha Purusham Kanchid Dahyamanosta Tejasa Matu, mother, Garbha, womb, Gata, being situated there, Vira, the great fighter, Sa, child Parikshit, Tada, at that time, Bhrigunandana, O son of Bhrigu, Dadarsha, could see Purusham, the Supreme Lord, Kanchit, as someone else, Dhyamana, suffering from being burned, Astra, the Bhamastra, Tejasa, temperature. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. O son of Bhrigu, Shonaka, when the child Parikshit, the great fighter, was in the womb of his mother Uttaraha and was suffering from the burning heat of the Brahmastra thrown by Ashvatthama, he could observe the Supreme Lord coming to him. Purport. Death generally involves remaining in trance for 7 months. A living being, according to his own action, is allowed to enter into the womb of a mother by the vehicle of a father's semen, and thus he develops his desired body. This is the law of birth in specific bodies according to one's past actions. When he is awake from trance, he feels the inconvenience of being confined within the womb, and thus he wants to come out of it, and sometimes fortunately prays to the Lord for such liberation. Maharaj Parikshit, while in the womb of his mother, was struck by the Brahmastra released by Ashvatthama, and he was feeling the burning heat. But because he was a devotee of the Lord, the Lord at once appeared himself within the womb by his all-powerful energy, and the child could see that someone else had come to save him. Even in that helpless condition, the child Parikshit endured the unbearable temperature due to his being a great fighter by nature. And for this reason, the word vida has been used. So, that is the position of the Lord's devotee. The Lord's devotee is protected by the Lord. Krishna is all-powerful. There is no danger that Krishna cannot protect one from. Even the greatest dangers that may exist within this world, Krishna can easily protect. It's not difficult for him. So, if one takes complete shelter of Krishna, he never need be afraid in any situation. This is why the devotee is called Abhay Chatan, one who becomes fearless by taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord. Especially this is the meaning of sannyas, to become completely fearless, taking complete shelter of the Lord. But this mood we almost have, because Krishna is very kind to his devotee, Suhridam Sarvabhutanam. He is the best friend of his devotees. He's always looking to the benefit of his devotees. Even if the devotee finds himself in an apparently difficult situation, he understands this is the special mercy of Krishna upon me. Tate nukam pamsu samikshamano bunjana evatmakatam vapakam tadvagbapurvevadadang namaste jivete yomukti padesadaya bhava. My dear Lord, those devotees who always expect your causeless mercy to be bestowed upon them, who continue suffering the reactions from their past misdeeds while continually offering you respectful obeisances from within the core of their hearts, are certainly eligible candidates for liberation. Indeed, it has become their rightful claim. So even if the devotee finds himself in a difficult situation, he sees this is also the Lord's special blessing upon me, to free me from my past sinful reactions, to purify me. Therefore, he never feels disconnected from the Lord in any situation. He always feels how Krishna is blessing him in every circumstance, the good, the bad, the beautiful and the ugly. He never feels himself bereft of the Lord's special mercy upon him. Ye yatamang prapajyante tangstataiva bhajamyaham. Inasmuch as they surrender to me, I reward them accordingly. So that devotee who is fully surrendered to the Lord, you see, he is being fully rewarded and blessed by the Lord at every minute. So that consciousness we have to develop, that complete, total absorption in Krishna consciousness. Now we are hovering on the platform between spiritual life and material life, neophyte platform, you see. Krishna, Maya, what is it? Krishna or Maya? Which one do I really want? Krishna or Maya? Haven't made up our minds completely. Krishna, I want Krishna, but Maya, yeah, a little Maya is good. We're still hovering on that mental plane. Krishna or Maya? Krishna or Maya? Krishna or Maya? So we have to follow in the footsteps of great acharyas and give up this attachment to the material nature. We have to see the great benefit of putting our complete, total faith in Krishna and Guru. Yasya deve para bhaktir tata deve tata guru tasyaite kitata hirta prakashante mahatmana. Only unto those souls who have unflinching faith in the words of Guru and Krishna are all the imports of Vedic knowledge revealed. You see? If you want to fully realize the Vedic knowledge, you must have unflinching faith in the words of Guru and Krishna. What does unflinching faith mean? There's not even a slight wavering. It's like a lamp in a windless place, you see. You know, there's a slight breeze, that lamp will move a little bit, you see. That flame will dance. There's even a slight breeze. But if there's absolutely no movement of the wind, that flame is unwavering, unflickering, you see. So we have to have that kind of faith in the words of Guru and Krishna. There's also the example of the those guards in the British guards at the Buckingham Palace. They don't flinch. You can go up and slap and go like this, and they just stand there and go like this, you know. And they just stand there. Even if a girl took her top off and was standing there with her bare breasts, they would just stand there like this. You see? Unflinching. So in this way, we have to have an unflinching fixity in Krishna consciousness. Come hell or high water, I'm going to stay fixed in Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You can offer me all the wealth of the heavenly kingdom, but I will take Hare Krishna mantra instead. You see, that kind of determination we have. Says, just like our Giriraj Maharaj, he was a brahmachari at the time, but his father was a wealthy attorney. He offered to bribe him to give up Krishna consciousness, but he didn't take it. He's a wealthy lawyer. He offered to bribe Giriraj with huge money if he would give up Krishna, but he didn't give it up. See, we have to have faith that this is more valuable than anything. Even the post of Brahmaji, the topmost demigod who controls the whole universe, how much wealth, how much power, how much prestige does Brahmanji have? But the wealth of Hare Krishna mantra, that wealth of having Krishna as your dearmost friend, your constant companion, that exceeds anything you could ever achieve anywhere in the whole material existence, from the highest planet to the lowest planet. So if we realize that there's nothing greater than Krishna, and if I give my heart to Krishna, I will possess Krishna. If we have this conviction of understanding, this fixity of consciousness, this total faith, unflinching faith, then we can remain firm in all situations of this material existence. Yato yato nishchalati manaschantalam ashtaram. We won't let that mind go wandering here and there like a monkey, swinging from branch to branch to branch. We'll keep that mind fixed. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Do you know? Krishna is fully present. In those two syllables, Krishna, the personality of Godhead is fully present. All of his forms, all of his names, all of his qualities, all of his pastimes are completely compacted within these two syllables, Krishna. You don't have to go anywhere else. You don't have to go to Vrindavan. You don't have to go anywhere. It's all right there in those two syllables, Krishna. And those syllables are available by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. By the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, they're right there for you. You have them. They've been given to you. The Shuddha Nam has been given to you by the spiritual master. That's Diksha. Spiritual master gives you, now here is the pure name. That's his gift. Now here, take the pure name and become perfect by chanting it according to the vows you have now taken. The spiritual master bestows this pure name upon the disciple. Now, what will the disciple do with it? Will he keep his vow? Or he will neglect his vow, you see. The disciple who keeps his vow, he's super intelligent. The disciple who deviates from his vow, he's the biggest ignoramus, the biggest fool and rascal. So if we take advantage of the pure name given to us by our spiritual master, We strictly avoid the 10 offenses. We remain packed up tightly in the association of the devotees, taking advantage of the sadhus, the advanced devotees who are coming to preach to us here, you see. If we take advantage of these things, then our lives become perfect. We get out of this cycle of birth and death, and we regain our original identities in the pastimes of the Lord. This is the Krishna consciousness movement. If we take full advantage of it, then we have a life completely free of anxiety. So what do you want? Do you want anxiety or do you want bliss? What's your choice? You want to always be in bliss? Or would you like to have some anxiety mixed in? What do you prefer? Pure bliss or you like a mix? A bliss and misery. You see? What do you want?
Some people say that without feeling the unhappiness, you cannot feel happiness.
Without, yeah, they say you have to have the, and you can't really know what good is unless you have bad. I remember many years ago, I was working at a summer camp before I became a devotee. I was a guitar counselor at a summer camp. And one of the other counselors, she said, yeah, you got to take the good with the bad. But no, we just want good. They say it's impossible, but that's their foolishness. Krishna is all good. There is nothing bad in Krishna. Krishna is all good. Material world, yeah, you got to take the good with the bad. Sometimes you'll have good, sometimes you'll have bad. That's the material world, that's a thing. But in spiritual life, it's nothing but good. If you're experiencing bad, that means you are still in material consciousness. One who is fixed in Krishna consciousness never experiences anything as a bad experience. He uses everything to advance himself in Krishna consciousness. It's like a businessman, as I gave the example the other day. Doesn't matter what the market is doing. The market can be going up or going down, but his business is going up in every circumstance. Because when the prices go down, he buys. When the prices goes up, he sells. So he's always, no matter whether the market is up or down, his business is always up, 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 up. In the same way, a devotee is always, a fixed up, advanced devotee is always up, 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 up. He's always advancing in Krishna consciousness at every minute. No matter whether things are going up or down in the material world, it doesn't matter. He uses everything to advance himself in Krishna consciousness. Stumbling blocks? No. Stepping stones. You see? Everything he uses to advance himself in Krishna consciousness. So, we neophytes who are still going through the ups and downs of the modes of nature, we have to learn from the advanced devotees how to use everything to become more and more fixed in Krishna consciousness. And then we will never be defeated in any situation, even the heaviest of all situations, which is death. It'll be a piece of cake. Just like our Dhruva Maharaj. Did death devastate him? You know the story? The Vaikuntha airplane. The Vaikuntha airplane came to pick him up, and just as the airplane arrived, death came running to the scene. Death personified came rushing to the scene. So how did he relate with death personified? He stepped on the head of death and got into the airplane. My dear death, you're welcome. I'm going to step on your head and get into this Vaikuntha airplane. You see? For death is not a big deal for a devotee. Death, hey, great. I got to step in. I use you as a ladder to get into the Vaikuntha airplane. Death, you're welcome. Come on, I'm going to step on your head. You see, that's Vaishnava. I'm going to step on your head. Death, you see? Devotee is not conquered by death. He steps on the head of death. So, when does that deathlessness begin? Srila Prabhupada says that deathlessness which means, doesn't mean your body's not going to die, but it means that now you have entered into the consciousness of immortality. Prabhupada says that begins from the very day of initiation. Actually, when your spiritual master hands you the beads and you accept that, yes, now I am the eternal servant of my spiritual master, now you have actually factually entered into immortality from the very moment of initiation. Prabhupada explained. So we have to learn from these great acharyas how to become deathless, how not to become disturbed by death or devastated by death, but how to use death to our advantage for advancing ourselves back to the supreme abode of Krishna. So now I can ask if there's any questions, either from the local devotees here in Phoenix, Mauritius, or on our internet chat window here. Okay, here's a local question from Mauritius. It is said we must only pray for devotion, pure devotional service and nothing else. If we are in difficulty, why should we not seek help from the person Krishna, who claims to be the best friend? Well, if you're in difficulty, the best thing you can do is say, my dear Lord, please bless me. I can be fully Krishna conscious in this difficulty. Because if you're in that state, you'll know how to, it won't be a difficulty anymore. It'll be a blessing. So here's a question now coming in from Romania, from Timișoara, Romania. Why is it so easy and natural to feel humble around some devotees and difficult with others? Well, we have a tendency to want to blame others, our external situations, for our own lack of Krishna consciousness. You know what that is? That's our own cheating mentality. Well, you know, I feel pretty humble when I'm around these, but if I'm with you, I don't feel humble. So there's something wrong with you. You see that? No, look at yourself. What's wrong with me? Instead of thinking, what's wrong with this devotee? When I'm around him, I don't feel humble. No, what's wrong with you? That's the key. As long as we blame others for our lack of Krishna consciousness, we'll never become Krishna conscious. When we start to blame ourselves, take the responsibility for our own lack of Krishna consciousness, that's when you're going to really become Krishna conscious. You see? You take responsibility for your, don't listen, it's my husband's fault, or my wife's fault, or my parents' fault, or this fault. No, don't blame others for your lack of Krishna consciousness. It's your fault, rascal. Blame yourself for your own lack of Krishna consciousness. We should all think, I am rascal, that's why I said that. I'm also a rascal. Because I still, the fact that I have a material body proves that I'm a rascal. If I had, Lord Chaitanya said that he was a rascal, and that he had no love for Krishna because he wasn't leaving his body in the separation from Krishna. He said, the fact that I'm still remaining in this body proves that I'm a rascal with no love for Krishna. So in this way, take the responsibility for your own lack of humility, and that will make you humble. Okay, here's a local question here. According to medics in India, Ashwatthama is visiting some temples in India. Please elaborate on this issue. And I've also heard some stories that Ashwatthama is still in Vrindavan. He's in a very old body, and sometimes people see this man with an old, old body. It's actually Ashwatthama still there. He's just said to still be living in the Kali Yuga. So you can imagine, oh, I saw Ashwatthama. Well, don't be so sure. Okay, now from South America. You explained to me that following instructions is more important, but now I'm feeling strong separation from you and Guru Mataji. Is it normal? What can I do? In other words, to serve the order of the spiritual master connects one with the spiritual master. When by serving Guru's order, you feel the presence of the spiritual master, but she's saying, but I'm feeling separated from you. Actually, that feeling of separation from the spiritual master is very good. Because the more you have that emotion of feeling separation, actually, the more you're becoming connected. So, by serving the order of the spiritual master and by feeling separation from the spiritual master, both of those things will strengthen your connection with the spiritual master. So please continue trying to serve the order of the spiritual master, and please continue feeling separation from the spiritual master. Both of those will strengthen you in your Krishna consciousness. Okay? Locals, there's no local questions today. We're going to go all with the... is there one I missed? I just answered that one. Okay. Yeah, here's two. Let's just get those out of the way. All right. Management. How should it be connected with the philosophy? Srila Prabhupada says that management follows preaching just like a shadow. Another point I remember, I was traveling with His Holiness Vishnu Janaswami, my Vartma Prajarshaka Guru, who made me a devotee. I never forget, in Miami, he gave a nice lecture one day. He was saying, whoever is the manager, like the temple commander, he should also give classes. Not that he's just managing, you see. The manager should also be, he should be preaching, you see. Someone just trying to manage and they're not preaching, it'll be very difficult. Especially in a society where nobody gets paid, it's all volunteers. Very difficult to manage. But if you're a preacher and you're inspiring people in Krishna consciousness, then management's a piece of cake. So our managers should all be preachers. That's the key. If our managers are all preachers who enliven you with Krishna Katha, then you're happy to do whatever they ask you to do. Well, so-and-so asked, you know, if they're enlivening you, you're inspired by their Krishna consciousness, then you'll do whatever they say with great happiness. So this is how you connect management with philosophy. Okay, let's see. Here's from India. What is the reason I feel difficulty in doing my sadhana? Because you're a neophyte, that's why. It's natural a neophyte will feel difficulty because you're not accustomed to Krishna consciousness yet, fully accustomed or acclimatized. It still feels artificial and unnatural to you because you've been conditioned in material sense gratification for millions and millions of lifetimes. So it's natural for a neophyte, it will sometimes feel difficult. But you just got to keep working through it. Work through that difficulty. Get up, even though you don't want to get up. Get up early in the morning. Have Mangal Arati at the temple or at home. Worship Tulsi Devi, ideally also here at the temple or at home. Chant your rounds. Study the scriptures. Do it as a matter of duty, following the order given to you by the spiritual master. And by this regulated activity, just like the example is given in the scriptures. Sugar candy tastes very bitter to someone who has jaundice. See, but by taking it under the order of the doctor, gradually it becomes sweet. Shat Krishna nama charitari satapya vidya pitopita tapsa rasa nasa narochi kanu kim vadna danna nilinang kadachai vajushta savikramad babitan gadamula hantri. The holy name, character, and pastimes of Krishna are all transcendentally sweet. just like sugar candy. Although the tongue of one who is afflicted with the jaundice of avidya, ignorance, cannot taste anything sweet, it is simply wonderful that by carefully chanting these sweet names every day, a natural taste awakens within his tongue, and his disease is gradually destroyed at the root. So that you are finding difficulty means it's still like poison for you. That's natural. A person with jaundice will take sugar candy as tasting bitter. It's natural. But it's simply wonderful that by carefully following this process every day, chanting Hare Krishna, giving up the sinful activities, following the order of the spiritual master, reading Prabhupada's books, distributing Prabhupada's books, the wonderful activities, cleaning the temple, worshiping the deity, managing the temple, collecting money, earning money to give to the temple, all of these activities will purify you so that gradually, what was difficulty will be an ecstatic dance. The whole life will turn into a dancing in ecstasy. You'll be dancing in ecstasy 24 hours a day, whether you're working your job, whether you're managing the temple, whether you're offering an arti, whether you're distributing books or building a Ratha Yatra car. It'll all be dancing in ecstasy, you see. So you just got to work through the difficulty, keep doing it on the order of the spiritual master, and that day will come when you achieve bhava, and finally you'll achieve prema. Pure love of God will be fully manifest within your heart. You'll be experiencing Krishna at every minute directly. What does it mean to fully surrender to Krishna? How to make that possible? Surrender to Krishna means surrender to the representative of Krishna, the spiritual master. You have to simply obey whatever instruction you receive from your spiritual master. Some disciples want to negotiate with the spiritual master. Well, Guru Maharaj, I really can't do that, and I can't do that, and I can't do that, and I'm not going to do this because it's not my nature, and this. Is that all right, Guru Maharaj? That's not surrender. You're not a disciple. It's like a business deal, you know, a business transaction. I can't do this, and I can't do... You understand, Guru Maharaj, I can't do this. No, that is not surrender. Surrender means whatever instruction, whatever your spiritual master wants you to do, you do it. Not what you want to do, what your spiritual master wants you to do. That is surrender. Otherwise, how is it surrender? Actually, you want to be the spiritual master and tell your guru what he can tell you and what he cannot tell you. You see? You're trying to be the spiritual master. Well, Guru Maharaj, you can tell me to do this, but don't tell me to do that. That means you're taking the position of guru. Don't do that. Don't you take the position of guru, telling your spiritual master what he can tell you and what he cannot tell you. That's not surrender. That's nonsense. You have to humbly present yourself before the spiritual master. My dear Guru Maharaj, now I'm completely surrendered to you. Just tell me how I can please you in the best possible way. That's all I want to know. Whatever you want me to do, I'm prepared to do anything. Anything you tell me to do, I'm prepared to do them. Without any limits. That is surrender. Now a question from South India. How not to feel myself superior than my seniors? A devotee always feels himself to be lower than the straw in the street. Chanandapi sanichena tadoda pisahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadhari. One should think himself lower than the straw in the street. He should be more tolerant than a tree. He should offer all respect to others without expecting any respect for himself. In such a state of mind, he can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. Well, would you like to be able to swim in the ecstasy of Nama Ruchi at every minute? How about it? Would you like that? Well, you have to do something if you want to come to that level of consciousness. That means you have to offer all respect to everybody without expecting even one bit of respect back. That you have to learn. That's it. You have to learn that. Because if you can master that art of respecting everyone, even if they spit in your face, you respect them within your heart. You see? Then you can chant Harinam constantly. You see? So, if someone is my superior Vaishnava, that means they're more advanced in Krishna consciousness than me. So I should be very eager to hear from them, very eager to serve them, very eager to learn from them. Those are my superior Vaishnavas. You see? So if you think you're superior to those who are more advanced than you, then you're crazy. You're a Vaishnava aparadi, an offender against Vaishnavas, and you'll never be able to experience the nectar of the name. The first offense against the holy name is to be offensive towards Vaishnavas. So if you think you're more advanced than the senior devotees, then you're an offender against the Vaishnavas, and you'll never taste the nectar of the name. So do yourself a favor and beat your head with shoes 100 times every morning and with a broomstick 100 times every evening. I'm a rascal, I'm a rascal, I'm a rascal. I have to learn how to respect my superior Vaishnavas. I have to learn this. Another question. Do instructions of the spiritual master have to be followed immediately, or they take time to manifest? Prabhupada said, I waited 35 years to carry out the order of my spiritual master. Better late than never. Of course, that was his humility. He tried from the very beginning. His Guru Maharaj told him to preach in English. He tried from the very beginning. Even as a householder, he started Back to Godhead magazine in English. Prabhupada didn't really wait 35 years. That was his humility. It took 35 years for him to fully come out when he started ISKCON. That's when he really got going full steam. But Prabhupada started from the very beginning as a householder to serve his spiritual master's order. So the point is this. You should strive to your best ability right now. It may not fully manifest yet. But you should strive to your fullest of your ability right now to do whatever your spiritual master wants. And then gradually it will make some, take some time to fully manifest, but it will fully manifest in due course. If you're sincere, speak up.
Doesn't it depend on what instruction he is?
Does it depend on the instruction?
Yeah, what kind of instruction he can offer, given a big instruction of preaching in Western countries?
Yeah, it depends on the nature of the instruction. If the spiritual master says, bring me a glass of water, you think, well, maybe next year. Anyway, what kind of nonsense is that? Someday I'll learn how to... Someday I'll figure out how to do it, you know, how to pick up a cup and go put it, and you know. The spiritual master asks you to, you know, make an entire country, make the whole country of Mauritius Vaishnavas. You know, it may take you some time to really get going with that order. You know, so there is a difference in the order, yeah, that's a good point. Okay, let's see what else is coming in here. Here's one from the local devotees. In the material world, does tolerance and humility mean that we should bear the injustice committed by people who are not devotees? Actually, our movement is to defeat the injustice going on by the non-devotees. Just like abortions, slaughterhouses, these are great injustices against the cows and the unborn babies. So our movement is not to tolerate this. Our movement is to put a stop to the abortion clinics, a stop to the slaughterhouses. We are not tolerant of these things. But, you know, we intelligently, it's not that we're trying to go in there with guns and by force. They would just arrest us and put us in prison. You can't do it like that. So in one sense, we have to tolerate it because it's the legal system right now in the world. Slaughterhouses and abortion clinics. You have to tolerate it on one hand. But on the other hand, we're not tolerating it at all. We're we are preaching very strongly that you have to honor a living being in the womb. He has his life in the very moment of conception. You have to honor that living being in the womb. They say it's so ridiculous now. If a pregnant mother gives birth to a baby, that sometimes they don't want to have the baby, so they flush the baby down the toilet, and then they're condemned for murder. After the child comes out of the womb, if the mother kills the child, they're condemned murderers. They can be put to death. But a day before, when the same baby is in the womb, you can kill it and it's okay. It's so ridiculous. Shows they have no brains whatsoever, the modern day leaders. They have no brains. These governments have no brains. They're brainless rascals running the countries of the world right now. It's like if there's an election. Well, who won? The demons or the demons? You see? That's what it's like. Who won? The demons or the demons? Who won the election? You see? That's the level of... So we have to tolerate it in one sense. We're not going to go out, you know, storm the parliament with rifles and try to take, you know, obviously we can't do that kind of stuff. But in terms of philosophy and education, we're very intolerant of that, and we preach very strongly against it. Okay, let's see here. How to develop Krishna consciousness in children? Can we force them to chant just as we force them to study? Well, at a certain age, you can. When they're little, you can... Okay, now you're chant. When they're very young, yes, you can. But when they get older, no, you cannot. But I can tell you this, if you really want to be effective, the best teacher is the one who teaches by example. The Acharya doesn't say, do what I say. He says, do what I do. You understand? If you really want your kids to be Krishna conscious, you be Krishna conscious. I've seen parents sometimes come and they say, okay, bow down to Guru Maharaj. They have the kid bow down. The parents don't bow down. They tell the kids to bow down. That doesn't work. If you want your kid to bow down to Guru Maharaj, you bow down and he bow downs with you. The whole family bows down together. Not that bow down to Guru Maharaj and parents are just standing there. It's ridiculous. If you want your kid to bow down to Guru Maharaj, you bow down to Guru Maharaj and the kids bow down with you. The child will naturally follow what the parents do. Monkey see, monkey do. Kids naturally do what their parents do at a certain age. So you have to be pure devotees. When your kid is born, you have to be strictly absorbed in bhakti. Your whole life has to be pure bhakti. Even when the kid's in the womb, the mother should be hearing kirtan, chanting kirtan. The kid is getting the benefit of all that kirtan. Play tapes, keep the sound vibration going for that baby in the womb. And when the kid comes out, the parents should be ideal examples. Rising early, chanting, offering aarti, everything. Ideal, pure devotees, as much as they possibly can be. And then the kid will just be inspired by the atmosphere. You see, this is how you have to do it. Okay. Again, from South America. How to be happy in Krishna consciousness, even when we sometimes feel difficulties. You have to understand that difficulties are your best friend. Because they help you to intensify your Krishna consciousness. You may ask, well, what is the proof, Guru Maharaj? The proof is Queen Kunti, Vipada Shantita Shashvat Tatra Tatta Jagangaro, Babadam Darshanam Yashad Apunar Babad Darshanam. Queen Kunti is very clearly saying, my dear Lord, please give me more difficulties. Because when I have these difficulties, I can do nothing but take shelter of you and see you within my heart. And when I see you, I know that I will no longer see the repetition of birth and death. So difficulties are your greatest friend. When a difficulty comes, say, Krishna, thank you for giving me this difficulty. And as soon as you have that attitude, it's not a difficulty anymore. It's not a stumbling block, as I mentioned earlier. It's a stepping stone, how I can advance myself in Krishna consciousness. Okay, let's see. We get a lot of questions coming in from the international. We got 30 people here on the attendee list right now. So that's almost equaling what we have here. Or maybe it looks like 30 and 30. 30 here and 30 there. We'd have 300 and 300 and 3,000 and 3,000 and 30,000 and 30,000. You know, 300,000 and 300,000, 3 million, 3 million, 30 million, 300 million. You know, this way we need to make the whole world Krishna conscious. Keep expanding, expanding, expanding. Okay, let's see. A lot of questions came in the chat window, and I'm going to go back. I couldn't catch all of them. They keep scrolling down as they come in. Let's see if I missed any of them here. Okay. Do we have love for Krishna while practicing sadhana bhakti? Sometimes we do certain things thinking we are doing them out of love. Actually, love of Krishna, pure love of Krishna, is already there within your heart. It is not an artificial imposition on your... This process is not an artificial imposition on your mind. It is a natural reawakening of the pure love of Krishna that is already lying dormant within your heart. So, the present moment, that love of Krishna is being misdirected to the energy of Krishna, especially our bodies and our minds and our false egos, which are also part of Krishna. We're trying to water the leaf instead of watering the root. That's our disease, our material disease. So, if one is feeling some sentiment, that's very nice. Prabhupada said, if one is crying in the kirtan, that is the crying of the soul. So if sometimes you feel certain symptoms like that, it's very nice. But one should understand, I'm a long way from prema. I'm a long, long way from Krishna prema. I still have all these anartas. In other words, not that when you may feel some little sentiment sometime, not, oh, now I'm a pure devotee. You know, don't fall into that trap. Yes, now I'm a pure devotee. I looked at the deity and a tear came out of my eye, and I must be a pure devotee right now. Everybody should worship me. I'm a pure devotee. No, don't fall into that trap. You see. But if one feels sometimes, sentiments is very nice. These are, they used to call them sneak previews. Now they call them trailers. You have a movie, you know. It's like a little sneak preview or a little tiny sample of what's lying ahead. Sometimes feel some ecstatic symptom of love while you're doing some service. It's a little sample of the great treasure of Krishna Prema that's lying ahead. So sometimes we may feel some hearing, you know, seeing some photograph or going to Vrindavan and seeing the Jamuna River, we may feel some wonderful, a heart may melt. We may have some heart-melting experiences, and that's very nice. But we have to understand, still, I'm a neophyte devotee. I have a long, long, long way to go to actually become a pure devotee. Okay. Let's see. All right. Here's another one. Oh, I already answered all the local ones. All right. If there's anyone I didn't answer, hand it to me. Let's see what else we've got coming in from the internet. Okay. In the purport, something was described as birth. was described as a period of trance for 9 months. It is also mentioned that the child is tormented in the womb by worms and being confined. So how can the child be in trance? It's described that something like after 7 months you come out of the trance, and you actually start to feel the torment of being bitten by worms. You wake up in the womb at a certain point, and you feel the torment of being in the womb. We have noticed that children of devotees are interested in Krishna consciousness. During childhood, while growing up, they lose that interest, especially during adolescence. Why is that so? Mundane schools instead of gurukulas. You send them to the mundane school to associate all day with mundane teachers. The teacher is mundane. They have to accept the authority of their teacher and their friends at school. It's mundane atmosphere. Therefore, it's better we have our own schools, or you homeschool your kids. To send in the public schools is a very, very dangerous thing. Very dangerous thing for the children. That's the problem. Mundane education. We need to have our movement. One of the goals of our movement must be all of our children should be educated in-house. That has to be a goal of our movement. All of our kids should be educated in-house, not farming them out to the karmis for education. All kids should be educated in-house. That's what we have to have. That's which has to be a goal of our movement, one of our goals. I know a nice example, Rudha, I believe is her name, Rudha Mataji in Boise, Idaho. She had two sons, and her husband was working full-time for Hewlett-Packard, the computer company. And so she was home taking care of the kids. And instead of sending them to public school, she homeschooled the children. You can actually get homeschooling kits. How you can give your kid an entire high school education at home. The Christians develop a whole thing. You can order them from the Christians. And then you just Krishnaize them. Krishnaize them. All you have to do. So, yeah, you know what she uses as a text for teaching them how to read? Srimad Bhagavatam. These boys learn how to read, reading Srimad Bhagavatam. The oldest is Ravi Gupta. And at age 13, he completed all of his studies at home. He got an equivalency of a high school education by the age of 13. And at 13, he entered the university and he became a PhD. And now he's a big college professor in Sanskrit at a university in the United States. I forget his initiated name now. He's a disciple of Hanumat Prasaka Maharaj, a fixed up preacher and a big, big college professor. And he never went to he didn't go to public school until the university. All of his, what we call elementary, junior high, and high school was all at home. Everybody was at home but the mother. And the brother did the same. The little brother followed the same path. And there's a book. You can actually order the book. It's a Kindle book. You can order it and download it on your computer to read how she did it, how she homeschooled her kids. You can send me an email and I'll send you a link how you can get that book even on your computer. You send me an email at sda@bhaktahome.com. That's my email address. SDA, like Sankarshan Das Adhikari @bhaktahome.com. So I'd be happy to send you a link so you can see how to get and download that book into your computer or your tablet or your smartphone. So you can see how to homeschool your kids and make them pure devotees and protect them from the mundane atmosphere of the mundane education. So anything else? Any other questions? Let's see, maybe we can take one more. There's nothing more locally. Let's try one more from the internet. This is from northern India coming in. Okay. Sometimes we feel so enthusiastic in Krishna consciousness and sometimes not. There's a mood swing. Is it that we are not properly fixed? We are still under the modes of nature?
Yes, that's right.
If you're going through mood swings, what is, note the connection between mood and modes. If you got mood swings, you're still in the modes. You're still being influenced by the modes of nature if you got mood swings. When you're beyond the mood swings, you're now fixed in Krishna bhakti. Then the modes are no longer acting on you. But as long as the modes are acting, you're going to have the up. You're going to feel sattvic. You have a sattvic mood sometimes, rajasic mood, and tamasic moods. You'll be tossed on the waves of the modes of nature as long as you're not fully, firmly fixed in Krishna consciousness. So yes, it's the influence of the modes. It's natural for a neophyte to have these things, but gradually, by taking shelter of the name, carefully chanting it every day without fail, at least 16 rounds, while strictly avoiding illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling, by this, you will come to that point where the modes don't touch you anymore. You become totally, completely, 100% impervious to the influence of the modes of nature. You develop a modes-proof consciousness. Brahma-bhuta prasanatmana sochati na kangshati samakshaveshu bhuteshu madbhaktim labhate puram. So we'll stop here, and we thank you all very much. For the local devotees here, all devotees who've tuned in on the internet today from all over the world, we thank you all for joining today's class. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Gaura Premanandi.
Ismail Sankarshan Das Adhikari Maharaj ki jai.